but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Well, I've been talking on today's show about the war of words between the Sacramento State President, Montana, Sacramento State on Friday night, 7:30 ESPN2. Here to talk a little bit about that and whatever else is going on in the Big Sky Conference is the man in charge of the Big Sky Conference. Tom Wistersill is the commissioner. He's joining us now. I'll get to the war of words in a second. You're fresh off AD meetings in the last 2 days. What are you guys talking about?
Well, we got a lot going on, John. As you can imagine, college athletics is in a constant state of flux right now. So we had a lot of conversations around scheduling. As you know, Sac State is leaving our conference after this year. Utah Tech and Southern Utah are coming in. So technically net adding a member. And so you have to redo all of your schedules. We're going to be moving to 9 conference games in football. We're going to be moving to 20 conference games in basketball. So there's a lot going on, especially when we're talking about next year. I mean, next fall seasons, next winter seasons. So a lot of accelerated conversations about that. We obviously talked about what's happening nationally with things like CSC and the NCAA and all the changes happening there. We talked about the congressional legislation that we're trying to get done. And so we did not lack for topics. Most of them were just good discussions to have. Sometimes things get a little tight and tense once in a while, but it's all a matter of trying to get better as a conference. And we got great leaders in our league. So always an enjoyable couple of days.
With a lot of the power conferences going to 9-game conference schedules now, there are fewer payday games that are out there and available. How does that impact, the FCS level in your view?
It definitely impacts us. Schools at the FBS level will only play one FCS opponent, if at all. And so we're fortunate on one standpoint because our geography is being out west here. We're the only FCS conference out west. So when you're talking about the Pac-12 and the Mountain West teams, you're talking about, those Big Ten teams out here now and Big 12, if they're going to play an FCS team, chances are it's going to be one of our schools. So I think there will be an effect nationally. Hopefully it's not as dramatic for us because of proximity that our coaches want to play those teams that are local, the big teams like Oregon State, Washington State. They'll continue to play Big Sky teams. But I think net nationally, that's going to change some things. There's only 12 games that we're allowed to play, both now FBS and FCS. And if only one of those FBS games get scheduled can be an FCS team, that net total is going to go down.
Sacramento State and Montana will play this game on Friday. You've got the president at Sacramento State throwing some shade at Montana, the coach at Montana calling the president a clown. I will have the popcorn out. I will be watching this game on ESPN2, 7:30. It feels like there's a little pay-per-view promotion going on. Is this good for your league, or where do you stand on that? And was this talked about at the AD meetings?
Well, it was talked about at the AD meetings, as he called it, the Montana Pandas. So both ADs were there, both Mark from Sac State and Kent from Montana. So it was all in good-natured fun in that. And, from the commissioner's standpoint, the way I think about this is, the first thing's kind of funny. The fire back is kind of funny. And after that, it kind of gets a little old. We're not WWE. We're not pay-per-view. I'm fine with a little bit of this, but, let's keep the focus on the student athletes and the great sport of football. And I think it's going to be a wonderful game. I think if I remember correctly, I think Sac State's beaten them the last 2 times in Sacramento. And I expect a big crowd there. I'll be there in person, so I look forward to seeing that game on Friday night. And, you know, Sac State's leaving the league. We're fine with that. They've got big dreams, and President Wood has not been shy about that. And so, like I said, you know, the little barbs back and forth don't bother me much. But we also don't want it to continue every single day to dominate the headlines when those headlines should be on our great student athletes and coaches.
I like that they're having a little fun with it. It makes me want to tune in because I just want to see, like, you know, is there extra incentive there? Is there some bulletin board material? You obviously are adding some members as well. How do you feel about the health of your conference right now?
You know, I think we have a great league, and we're really fortunate that we have, you know, a dominant position out here out west. I think, as I've told you before, John, what I really like is we know who we are. We're not trying to be something we're never going to be. You know, I think there's a bottom half of the FBS that is going to always chase the top of FBS and never make it and fall further behind, you know, week by week. So we're very comfortable in our skin. We provide a great educational opportunity for our student athletes. They graduate. They can play high level championship competition in football. We can play for national titles, which is really special, and to have that chase for the trophy. So I like our conference. I think the addition of the two Utah schools is great from a proximity standpoint and travel standpoint for our schools. So, you know, we'll continue to be a dominant player nationally in all of those sports. And it all comes back to the fact that our presidents, you know, care deeply about, you know, where athletics holds its place around the, you know, the educational opportunities there. So we're very fortunate. We've got a great league and a great brand, and look forward to a bright future.
You've got some teams at the top, the Montana schools, Idaho, Cal Poly, that really fund differently than maybe some of the teams that are kind of at the bottom with lower athletic department budgets, and Portland State and Weber State down at the bottom. How do those schools at the bottom stay competitive in your mind?
You know, it's tough. And, you know, it's tough because, and I think everybody's finding this out with the bigger conferences, right? I mean, you know, we'll be at 13 schools in football next year. As you know, you have, you know, the Big Ten at 18 and others at 16 and that, you know, there's a winner and loser every Saturday. So essentially half those teams are in the bottom half of the league. That's just math. And so it's really hard competitively to move up because the teams above you, they don't want to move down. And so they're investing heavily in what they're doing. You know, it still comes back to coaching and player development and then funding those expectations. And if you expect to compete at the top of our league, you have to fund your programs at that competitive level amongst the top. If you're funding them in the bottom half, then your chances are you're probably going to finish in the bottom half most years. You might catch lightning in a bottle once in a while, but to sustain success, it takes a championship level investment. And I think that's what everybody's finding in all of these conferences is that, you know, if you want to compete with Ohio State at the Big Ten, you got to fund at Ohio State. And if you want to compete with the Montanas and UC Davis right now at the top of our league, all three in the top six nationally, you know, you're going to have to fund at that level and then hire coaches that can coach at that level, find players that can develop and play at that level. So it's not an easy thing. That's why you don't see football switch, you know, flip very quickly, you know, like what Kurt Cignetti's doing at Indiana. That's why it deserves so much attention, because that just doesn't happen. And, you know, and so it's really hard whether we're talking the Big Ten, the Mountain West, the Big 12, or the Big Sky. It's just a real challenge to move up. Not that it can't be done, but it takes all of those things aligned to make it work out.
Tom Wister still with us, Big Sky Conference Commissioner. I want to pivot a little bit to basketball. They're stretching out. They're warming up, getting ready for the season. Your preseason poll comes out. Coaches and media agree on the top four teams in your conference. What do you expect basketball-wise from the Big Sky?
I think it's going to be a wild race. You know, our top few teams return a core group of players. Some of them, in Montana's case on men's basketball, won the title. So they return some really good players. You know, in this transfer portal era, you know, I look at those rosters, and boy, there's a lot of names I don't know on there. So that tells me it's going to be wide open. And basketball is unique in our league because, you know, again, not only do we play everybody, but traveling to the location is just so different, right? I mean, you can play at 7,000 feet in Flagstaff, you know, and then you're you're playing at sea level when you get to Portland State, you know? So, I mean, you know, it's really hard to win on the road in our league because of all those differences I talked about. We have a really good group of coaches that have really developed some good players. And then, like I said, the transfers come in, and you just don't know. So it's going to be a really competitive year. I'm looking forward to watching our teams and kind of see who kind of rises above the fray.
Tom Wister still with us, Big Sky Conference Commissioner. The bigger picture in basketball, Power Four conferences want to expand this field. And we know that, you know, those extra teams getting in are probably not coming from the FCS division. Where are you guys on the NCAA tournament and the health of this thing? I know it's near and dear to you.
Yeah, you know, speaking as the Big Sky Commissioner, you know, I'm in favor of the slight expansion that we're talking about. The math that we've done is about 20% of those teams would come from outside the Power Four in a 10-year time frame. So, you know, so I think there's opportunities there. Here's the way I've looked at it and explained it to our administrators in the Big Sky, both presidents, ADs, and coaches, which is, you know, if there's an opportunity for us to play in those opening rounds, which, you know, you would expand that Tuesday, Wednesday, and have in those games, I think those are 50-50 games for us, right? We can win some of those games. It's been 20-plus years since we've won a game in the NCAA tournament. Mm. And all of those units pay out, you know, $1.6 million out to those teams that are winning, to those conferences. So, you know, we haven't been able to do that because we've been too good to be in the play-in games in Dayton and not good enough to get a high enough seed where it's very realistic. So if we take last year, for example, last year Montana played Wisconsin in the first round in Denver. If they first had to play, let's pick a team, you know, Cal State, pick one of the California schools, right?
UCSB.
Let's say UCSB, Santa Barbara. Yeah. If they had to play UCSB in an opening round game, I think that's a 50-50 game. You win that game, then you go play Wisconsin. Well, now we've already got a unit. All of that money that our schools desperately need right now in this new era of, you know, paying players and increased budgets and declining enrollments and declining state, money flow into the schools. Hey, that's a pretty big deal. So, you know, I think it could be a net positive for the Big Sky. And hey, you know what? March is a wonderful month. We dominate that. People love watching March Madness. If it increases the game on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and it changes nothing else after that, to me, that's a net positive. So, you know, I'm in favor of it, and we'll wait and see kind of what happens.
Portland State, you know, obviously they invested in the Viking Pavilion. Their men's basketball team picked second by the coaches, second by the media. Is there a temptation as the commissioner to kind of turn to your ADs and your presidents and say, look, basketball is an area where if we really invest, we can. There's a return on the investment out there, because I don't know from a football perspective if that investment exists, you know, because what does it do? It gets you into the FCS playoff, maybe, you know, gets you more of a profile there. But basketball, there's real dollars out there.
That's exactly right. We talk about that a lot as a conference. I think your example of Portland State is a great example because, you know, they invested and built a beautiful facility. Jace has done a really good job as the coach there. He's built a really good program. He's got a really good team this year. They have a very legitimate shot of cutting the nets down in Boise in March. And I think people can point to that and say, hey, if you invest in the right areas, you're right. There is a pot of gold at the end, not only to go to the NCAA tournament, there's opportunities to win games, to get a bigger pot of the gold. And so I think, you know, I think our schools realize that there is a finite amount of money that you can spend in all those areas. But you're absolutely right, John. Basketball is an opportunity for us to continue to grow and get better. You know, one of these years, we got to be that Cinderella story that everybody follows in March. So that's what we're hoping for. And hopefully it's coming sooner rather than later.
All right. Tom Wister still with us. Will you go to the Sacramento State Montana game, or where are you this weekend?
Oh, yeah. No, I'll be there. I'll be there Friday night there in Sacramento. Looking forward to seeing that and looking forward to having the world on ESPN2 turning in. It sounds like it's going to be a hell of a crowd, going to be packed. And yes, you mentioned bulletin board material. Coaches like to downplay that to the media. But being the son of two coaches and being around this and in locker rooms my whole life, it absolutely is talked about in the locker rooms, 100%.
Yeah.
To me, that'll make it fun.
It is fun. I'll be tuned in as well. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate you.
Great to be with you, John.
And there he goes, Tom Wister, still the commissioner. Is he the referee? The commissioner in the Big Sky Conference. So you got the president, Luke Wood, at Sacramento State, who's just, you know, went on TV last week and threw a bunch of shade at Montana. You got Bobby Houck, the longtime coach, winningest coach in the Big Sky, calling him a clown. You've got Brennan Marion, the coach at Sacramento State, firing back, saying this doesn't mean anything.
No, I'll never speak on our president's comments. This is, I'm blessed that he gave me a job as the head coach here, and I'm just happy to be the head coach and leading the program.
Are you worried that gave them bulletin board material?
No, I don't. I mean, everybody each week is going to be fired up to play us. I mean, that's just a part of the game. I mean, there's never been a time where I coached anywhere where the other team wasn't trying to beat you. So, I mean, they're going to be trying to beat us. We're going to be trying to beat them, regardless of anything that's said.
You believe him with that? Do you believe Brennan Marion that you know, everybody, this doesn't add fuel to the fire? I don't believe him. I think that there is a big time problem here for Sacramento State in potentially, and Montana's already good enough. You don't want to fire up Bobby Houck and the Montana Grizzlies because they will come into Sacramento with a chip on their shoulder. I think he's, you know, Brennan Marion is saying what he thinks he should say because Luke Wood is his president. His president, for crying out loud, is the one who is causing the problem here. So the president comes out and says, you know, that the pandas of Montana are coming and I'm not too worried about them and, you know, throw some barbs. And then you got, obviously, Montana firing back. And then you got Brennan Marion playing peacemaker. They're essentially saying, no, everybody shows up to play in these kinds of games. It's good stuff, and it's going to make me tune in. It's going to make me watch the game. And I actually think, Tom Wistersill wouldn't say it, but I actually think if you're the commissioner of the Big Sky Conference, this is good for you because you're going to have to go and negotiate some TV rights in the future. And if you've got extra eyeballs and if you have extra interest and you have two good teams that are playing in your conference and you can attract an audience that maybe is a little fatter than expected. I'm not talking about the actual physical stature. Don't at me. If you can attract a larger audience than expected for this game, this bodes well for the Big Sky Conference. It helps your conference as you seek to sell media rights in the future. And certainly the profile of Montana and Montana State and Cal Poly and the schools that are at the top of the conference, I think help the Big Sky with their profile. I am interested in the Portland State saga. We've talked about it a little bit on yesterday's show as Bruce Barnum, the Portland State football coach, joined us. He's got 1 year remaining on his contract. Barnum will coach, I think, till the end of this season. Do they extend him? Do they just let him play out his contract next season? What does Portland State do? Is Portland State in the football business still? I don't think any of this really reflects on Bruce Barnum, the failure to win football games. I think they're still playing hard and they're doing the best they can within the resources that they have. But when your athletic department is operating with a $5 million budget and you're playing against a Montana and a Montana State and others who are up around $8 and $9 million, you are operating with one arm tied behind your back. And that doesn't even include the fact that you don't have an NIL collective and the other schools do. That may put both arms behind your back. And then you got to play the four or five games a year that are the payday games, including the Tarleton State game, where you're making money to go play against a BYU team that has a $60 million athletic department budget, $60 million football budget, rather. They're spending $60 million on football. You're spending $5 million on your entire athletic department. Good luck to you. You're not going to win that game. You don't have a chance. So I don't think it matters who the coach is at Portland State. If you give Vince Lombardi the circumstances that Bruce Barnum has this year, I don't think they're any better off. And I think it's not a, you know, should Barnum be the coach of this team moving forward? It's the wrong question. The question that we should be focused on is Portland State serious about football? If they are, give Bruce Barnum what he needs to compete. And if you're not, maybe you do think about getting out of the football business and you think about going basketball only, but can you stay in the Big Sky Conference if you're a basketball only member? That is a problem. Like, typically they'll say, hey, no, we need your football team in here to be part of our media rights deal. And then basketball and everything else gets to come along for the ride. So there's some problems here. It's a conundrum for Ann Cudd. And I think Bruce Barnum, his team shows up to play. They represent well. They're playing an impossible schedule. I'm looking at the rest of this schedule and how it lines up for Portland State. And I don't feel great about it. for Bruce Barnum's chances to win games, but go win games. You know, if he goes and finishes this season strong, maybe he gives Matt Billings, his athletic director, no choice but to extend him by a year or 2 years, or put a clause in his contract that says if he wins 6 games next year, he gets an additional year. You got to do something if you're Portland State that is very proactive, and you have to start scheduling different. It's okay to play a payday game or two, but when you're playing 4 of them and you're getting the, you know, your starting lineup gets its brains beat in. He doesn't have his starting running back. He lost 4 or 5 starters out of his 22 starters in the first 4 weeks of the season. And then you got to go play these other games against athletic departments that have bigger budgets. Man, like, who wants to sign up and raise their hand for that? All right, we got so much more ahead. You got the bald-faced truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network. I want you to leave it locked in. The 5 at 5 coming up at 5 o'clock should be fantastic. Steven's nodding at me. Says he has the best 5 stories. Are they the absolute best 5 stories, Steven? The best 5 stories in sports coming up top of the hour. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network.